Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed. Plus, free premium delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, longtime entertainment reporter. We are back again in one of the most, talked about, controversial, whatever, movies is out right now. And it's a documentary of all things, but everybody's talking about it.
National Geographic didn't do it.
That's right.
You know? So, yes, I went to Melania.
Oh, boy.
And I must tell you, it was not one person at Melania. You hear this all over the country. Only one person in the theater, and it was probably a critic. Well, at my theater, it was packed. It was sold out. Now, granted, I went in the afternoon. That's usually when the old people go. So, there you go. It's cheaper. And, we're the hotbed of Trumpers, you know, let's just be honest. There are a lot of Trump fans.
You're in Iowa. So
that would be a likely place for them to go. The audience was basically those people who go to one movie a year.
Okay.
So if they were Fried Green Tomatoes fans, they were at that one. Or if they were Green Book fans, they went to that one. I don't think we had one last year for them to go to. So this is it. And Melania is not a documentary as we know documentaries.
Okay.
It's more of kind of a brand rollout. You know how Ralph Lauren will do the fall looks or the lookbook for 2026?
Sure.
And then you'll see these kind of models walking up and down ramps and they're in some foresty glade and they are wearing these clothes that you think, well, why would you wear good clothes out in the forest?
Right.
But it's like that, where it's kind of a brand identity thing. And the first thing you see of her are these stiletto heels with snake skin on them walking down this marble floor. And then you really don't get her face until pretty well into that first scene. And then you never really get a sense of her as a person. There's never a moment where she's sitting on the couch in a robe talking to her friends and eating potato chips.
Right.
You know, like that is not the Melania anybody knows. And she takes a call from her husband and it's like, did you see we won? And she's, yes, Mr. President. And it's like a very formal call. It is not like, honey, I need bread and bring some milk home too when you come. It wasn't anything like that at all. And then she's, I'll watch it later. We'll go by. And she hangs up on him. And so you think, well, what is this relationship they got going? I mean, I think the film asks more questions than it answers.
Interesting.
But you find that she is, the word elegant does apply to her. Her makeup is elegant. Her hair is elegant. Everything about her is very curated. And I think you get the idea that she sees herself in the same kind of mode as British royalty. You know how when they go through, when they meet people, they give a little nicety, they say something, and then they say thank you, and they're moving on to the next one. And that's how she is with people. She has a moment, and then she moves on. You see her with the people who are making her dress. This is all 20 days before the inauguration, making her dress. And you get a little glimpses of things where she's make it tighter. And you go, huh, she wants to look like she's real model-esque. And she's gorgeous. She wears a lot of high heels in this thing. And you only get to see her in slippers once. And it's like so fleeting. It isn't even, she's remarkable. You don't know it. I mean, I was looking, but you never see the real Melania. And you see her at the end signing books and posing for pictures for, I don't know if it's for another campaign or if it's her official White House picture, mm-hmm. but she looks like she's on The Apprentice. She has her arm, she's wearing a tuxedo jacket and she has her arms crossed and she's kind of giving one of those poses. And you think, huh, I wonder what this is all about, because it is not, it's not her warts and all biography.
Yeah.
She talks about her mother a little bit, who inspired her interest in fashion.
Okay.
And you see her dad, but then you see these kind of, it looks like home movies, but they're not. They just made the film look like it was home film things. And you see dad in there, but dad doesn't really talk that much. The moments with the president are fleeting, and you see them whisper at the inauguration, but you don't know what they're saying or, you know, what kind of little insight they're sharing. You see Democrats throughout the whole thing, but they're not necessarily shown in the best light.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like there's Nancy Pelosi in the back looking kind of all mad.
Right.
Or, you know, there are the Bidens, but we're not giving the Bidens anything. So very formal, very, very regulated.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind that I watched it. I didn't think it was a waste of time, but I don't think you ever got a, I don't know what I could say I know about her now that I saw from that. I do know that she knows how to enter a car really well and knows how to do carpets. That hat, I think, was, remember the hat when she was, when he was swearing in and you said you couldn't see her eyes to reach in and kiss her? I think that was calculated. I think she did not want to have that. I don't want to kiss. Let's make the brim as wide as we can so he can't reach in. I mean, this is, you know, and there's one kind of fun moment where she tells the camera to follow her into this room where the president is practicing a speech. And he doesn't like a word that's in the speech. And she makes a suggestion. And then he thinks about it a little bit. And he says, that's good. Yeah, let's use that. And then he turns to the cameraman and said, cut this. Don't use this footage. And then you see her and she's smiling. So it was this a setup? Was this designed for that to show that she has some input? You see her on a phone call with Mrs. Macron from France, and they kind of, you know, talk about their initiatives, but it's nothing. And there's no letdown. She's never going in the refrigerator and grabbing something to eat. She's never, you know, making a mess in the house or yelling at somebody, clean that up.
Yeah.
Or it's just, it's very formal. And even she talks lovingly about her son, Baron, but we never see her with Baron where they're, you know, it's mom, how are you doing? Or what are your grades? Or what are,
right,
none of that.
Right. Well, very private. I mean, they've,
yeah.
I mean, my assumption is she's largely, you know, trying to protect him from everything. I don't know if that's as much him as it is her.
She does a kind of an end run on some of his stuff. She points out all of the immigrants that she has working with her,
mm-hmm.
and she has a lot. So I don't know if this is her way of saying, we're not against immigrants. We want them to be a part of our world. And I'm an immigrant, you know? So I think you get subtle messages, but to try and read into them, it would take more than just one look at this film to figure out.
But there is no like flashbacks to her being younger, no deep dive into where she came from.
No, you don't see any modeling pictures from the 80s or 90s or any of that. No. And you don't see, there isn't an Epstein picture where we were having dinner with our good friend, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
You don't see.
Yeah. So, you know, my thought about this too, and I'm assuming at some point I'll see it. I go to the movie theaters so infrequently. You know, I'm not going to go see this. This isn't what I'm going to pay for, but it'll be on Amazon. It's an Amazon movie. So I feel like it's the type of thing I'll throw it on at some point when it comes on. But what's been interesting to me has been looking at the reviews on, in particular, Rotten Tomatoes, where, you know, as of this moment, it has 5% from critics. So it's been absolutely panned by professionals, but it's 99% from the audience score, which kind of gets to me, like, in general, I've really come to dislike Rotten Tomatoes because it's the combination of just review bombing. Like, anytime there's a movie that, you know, maybe there's an actor that has a CD past who shows up in it, or, like, you know, you take like a Star Wars movie, which has a very passionate base, and in this movie it does something to kind of like upset the fan base, then it becomes this case of like, we're just going to review bomb it, right? We're going to, it's one star. And it's presumably people that also haven't seen the film. So, you know, with like this type of movie, you know, it's got 1,000+ verified reviews to it from the audience, but did all 1,000 people see it? Or is this, you know, it's obviously a movie that's going to be picked up by his base. These are folks that are just going to give it a, you know, a 5-star review no matter what, whether they've seen it right. or not. And, you know, and let's be honest, it's the type of movie too where, you know, if you're not a Trump supporter, you're probably not even going to give it the time of day to begin with. So you're already getting a very like biased opinion. But I kind of think about, I don't know if you're familiar with Dave Portnoy. He's the he does One Bite Pizza reviews. Okay. You know, in his shtick is you have to, like, when you do these One Bite Pizza reviews, you score it, but your score, there has to be nuance to the score, right? So if, you know, if he does a review and he's got like a guest with him or somebody else with him and they're like, it's a 7. He'll call it a rookie score because you're giving it a whole number. And his thing is he's, you know, like, okay, this pizza is a 6.9. This one's a 9.1. This one's a 7.8. But it's impossible to be a 10. And his argument is you can never be a 10 because if you're a 10, there's like, you're saying there's nothing possibly better. Yeah. Right, exactly. So it kind of gets to, when you're looking at some of these reviews, and it probably doesn't help that you're scoring on kind of like a scale of like 1 to 5, because your range is a little bit smaller there. But I guess what I'm getting at is there's probably a lot of folks here. They're going to see a movie like this and they're going to be, it's a 5. And then if you don't like it, it's a 1. Right. There's not a 2 score in here. There's right. not a 3 yeah. score in here. So, I mean,
there's no nuance.
Right. There's yeah. no nuance. And I find it hard to believe that this movie is 100% unwatchable. But I also, you know, I've read enough about it to think like we're not getting the whole picture. It's just a look at a 20-day period. How can you do, you know, how can you give a legitimate kind of like true documentary to something and only look at 20 days? Like you need a little bit more scale yeah. of time there. So, I mean, for you as a professional on a scale of like 1 to 5 or 1 to 4, whatever you want to be, like, where does this fall for you?
Well, I go 4 stars. Okay. So there's money. And I think it's around a 2 okay. only because it looks good. It looks gorgeous. But I think what they needed the distance that would come with bringing in somebody to interview her,
yeah.
to ask her questions. How do you feel at this point? What is this like for you? Or now what's different because it's your second time? What do you wish you had known the first time going through all yeah. this that you don't know now? And these aren't hardball questions that you throw at her, but it would be things that I think people would like to know.
Yeah.
Because how many times does somebody come back to a place that you had already said goodbye to, and you have another opportunity to make good with them?
Right.
And I think she has answers to things that none of us ever think about. But those who would do the questioning wouldn't necessarily, they would be too eager to ask questions that are either kind of baiting or are questions that would make her or her husband look bad. And so she's put up a protective wall.
Right.
And this wall keeps you from getting to that. And, I wish that they had interviewed somebody who could interview her. There are enough of those journalists out there who probably wouldn't go for the jugular in the course of this and could get those questions answered. And hell, I'll do it. Call me, Melania. I'll come and ask you the questions that I think people want the answers to that are not political.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go down that political road, where do you stop?
Right.
You just keep rolling. And I don't think that, there she has something to say, and she certainly has her initiatives and things like that. And I don't know what Be Best is all about, even after all the things I've heard about
mm-hmm.
it. But at the end, there's this huge crawl that lists all the things she's done. And you look at it and you go, I don't remember hearing about this. So was this her way of saying, you guys never paid attention to these things. Here's what I think you need to know about me. But I still would like to, because I would like to see her lighten up. She does a little bit of it when they ask her about what's your favorite song. And she says it's Billie Jean. And they play it on the radio and she starts singing along with it. And I think that's the Melania I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see one that I don't get. Because I know the one that she presents and wants you to see. The one that's very well coiffed and always has a dress that fits perfectly. You never hear her say, oh my God, I can't wear that dress. That one, no, it's too tight. I'll be uncomfortable the whole night long. Put it away. You never hear her say anything like that. She's constantly kind of working the system. But I think she's creating a brand more than she is creating a legacy.
Right. Right.
If that means anything. But I did not think it was horrid. I would not have done zero on the scale. I wrote a review about it, and you'll see it if you look in one of the papers, that I thought was fair. I thought it told you enough. But, I have political beliefs, and I know where I stand in all of this, and I don't think that got in the way.
Yeah.
But I can appreciate it for what it is, but calling a documentary is stupid. It's not a documentary. It's like those... when you see on YouTube, there'll be an Architectural Digest visit somebody at
right.
home and then walk through their house and say, oh, I love this African art that I got when I was on tour in 1998. And so I brought that into my home and I've got to have that. That's what it's
sure,
like.
Sure, sure.
It's just, it's her way of doing an AD tour without showing the White House.
Yeah. I kind of, it's like I'm thinking in my head too, where you said we didn't get to see her reach into the fridge. And how funny would that be if she's like, I'm hungry. She opens up the fridge and grabs like a string cheese and is struggling with her nails to open up that crazy wrapper that's on a string cheese. Right. I mean, that's a lighter moment and it would have been fun to get something like that. Right.
I would love that. And the chips, come on, you got to have a chip, Melania. I know you
right.
do. I know that somewhere in your house, you've got a bag of chips that you run to every night, like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I just have to have one chip. And then before you know it, the bag is almost
right.
gone.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
And you don't see her working out either. And I thought that would be another thing, because look how fit she is. And I don't even know how old she is, but she looks damn good.
Yeah.
It's an image campaign is what it
right.
is. Image campaign.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, there it is. There's your unbiased look at Melania. So,
it's biased, but it's
right.
It isn't. I was expecting, but then, doesn't that just kill you when you hear people talk, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. And or else you hear one say, oh, wasn't that just wonderful?
Right.
Wasn't that just great? And all right, I got to see for myself. Let me be the judge.
Right. It gets to the, not to drag this out any longer, but it kind of gets to the polarization of our nation now where there was a time when you could look at things and be like, we can kind of cross the aisle here and agree to disagree or, see a different point of view. And, it's, I think that's the same thing that's going on here with this movie is you have folks that are just like, I'm going to hate it. I'm just going to hate it. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to hate it. And then likewise, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. And, And I saw that too with the Springsteen movie. You know, I'm an Uber fan. I love him. I've been listening to him my whole life, and I didn't love the movie. It was okay. It was fine. But you know, I'm in a Facebook group with a bunch of spring nuts, and they're all like, you know, I can't believe this didn't get a Best Picture nomination. Well, because it wasn't that good. It was fine. You know, you have to be able to look at things in kind of like, you know, a more nuanced approach. There can be different shades of colors here. We can agree that it's not all one way or the other. There could be nuance. So,
I put it out there. Anybody who has a relationship with Mrs. Trump, and would you please ask her, can I do an interview with you that has nothing to do with politics? Because I want to know the potato chip question. I want an answer to that. And I want to know if she does hang around the house like the rest of us do. Or does she always have to have makeup on and look like she's, you know, going to some huge event?
She probably has one of those crushed up bags of like the Lay's sour cream and onion, you know?
The shards.
Oh, yeah. those are good, too. So anyway, we've got some other things coming up. Horror, right? I mean, you have a little bit of a horror movie here.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus free premium delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
When did we become 1930? You know, because we had Frankenstein over the end of the last year, nominated for Best Picture.
Right.
Now we get Dracula. There's a new Dracula film. Whoever thought that was coming? And I got a chance to talk to the director, Luc Besson, about this. And then the two stars, Caleb Landry Jones and Zoe Blue, who is the daughter of Rosanna Arquette. And they explained to me a lot of the details about why they did it, what the making of it. And I did not realize that Luke is so taken with Caleb that he will just do any movie with him. He thinks he's that good. They did a film called Dogman that he thought was just perfect, and then happened to suggest, I think we should do Dracula. So I have a couple of interviews if we'd like. Let's listen to the director first, Luc Besson, and then we can, if you will, flip it to the two actors, and you'll catch a sense of what they're all about and this film that's coming out very shortly. Here, it's Bruce Miller. It's the Sioux City Journal. Luke, this is the fastest Dracula I think I've seen. It really moves like a house on fire. Was that were you determined to do that from the beginning? Did you say, yes, this has to be quick?
No, I don't. It's funny because the guy waited for 400 years. So normally should be very slow, but I think it's moving all the time. It's not particularly like, it's not an action film where it goes at 200 kilometers per hour, but his emotion is so strong that you always want to, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? How are you going to find her? So it's more about the suspense, but yeah, I don't want to get bored, even me. So on the editing, I'm pretty hard with myself. So we have a first version at like 2 hours 20, and I was like, nah. And then we cut. And then you always find a moment where you say, okay, that's the good timing.
When you went back to the original source, were there things that surprised you about Dracula that you know, it's just changed over the years because people add to the legend? Or
I went back to the book.
Yeah.
I was very surprised because something I totally forgot. It's the romanticism. Everybody goes to the blood and the vampires and things, but the main course of the thing is a man will wait 400 years to see his wife again. And it's so romantic. And he cracked me up. And that's the movie I want to do. And then I use the rest, the vampire, the blood and the teeth and the neck and thing, but as almost like as an extra thing in the movie.
There's a line too about light. which we've always been told, oh, they have to stay in the dark all the time. And you have a line somewhere about well, no, that you don't have to. You can have light. It doesn't matter. But was the direct, that original?
The direct ray of light who you know, make something on their skin, but the normal light is okay.
Was that in the original or is that your interpretation?
It was a kind of in the original, yeah.
Okay. And the gargoyles, where did that concept come from? I love them. They are so cool.
You know, when I was writing the script, I always write another script on the side, which is how things works in this world. Like, for example, The Fifth Element, I wrote 400 pages, how the city is working. So I start this second script, and then suddenly Dracula is alone in his castle. Who's going to clean? And then I have to find, I say, okay, so someone he bites or slave or like, who's going to take care of the castle? And then at this time, we have this reportage in France about Notre Dame because, you know, the Notre Dame burned. And I saw gargoyles. And I say, oh, I find the cleaners. That's how it starts.
It was wonderful. Why did you think of Caleb as Dracula?
He's a genius. Honestly, it's for me the actor of the decade. He's so generous, so gentle. I just want to do all my films with him. He's perfect. We're friend now, and then we always talk. We have a dinner, and we always like little things. What about this, and what about that? And the way we built the character, it's so fresh and so unique. No lawyers, no agents, no, you know, we just like together and we create like two kids, basically.
So are you talking now about something else you can do together?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Zoe, she was a surprise for you. She wasn't one that you'd had around. Is she now a member of your company where you'll just see her in another movie at some point?
I love her. She's amazing. You know, the funny story is like, in fact, Caleb introduced me to her. He said, oh, what about her? And I never realized that she was the daughter of Rosanna.
Yeah.
So I met Zoe when she was big like this. And suddenly now she's grown up and she's in the front of my camera. I can see sometime her mother in it. But it was her first time for her, a movie like this. And she works so much and she's really good. Yeah, she's part of the team for sure.
Sure. And I want you to market the perfume. So please get that out there on the stands because I think it'll be great. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Really welcome. Thank you so much.
All right, Bruce, thanks for that interview with Luke Besson. And then here is Caleb Landry-Jones and Zoe Blue.
Yeah, can I just throw in a little, little quick one? We talk about this perfume because Dracula is into making perfume. And so I ask about, you know, what does that smell like? What is the scent of Dracula's perfume? So that's part of this whole interview. You'll get a chance to understand what in the hell is he asking? Well, that's the question. It's Bruce Miller at Sioux City Journal. Caleb, can I ask about those wigs? They look heavy as hell. Were they?
Some of them were heavier than others, yes.
Gillian,
the wig master, who also did Dogman and quite a few of Luke's movies, she is incredible.
Hair wizard.
And Nico, who was also on Hair, and I don't know, by the time you're in it and all that, you want to get it off after it's all over for sure, but you're not thinking about it while you're working, you know.
Was that the way for you to tell, where am I at this point? What period am I playing is how I look?
Sometimes, very much so, yes. That and Luke.
Did it switch back and forth a lot?
Oh, yeah. There was one day, I think, we went between four or five courts, or I'm not sure how many courts we did in the day, but this is the most costume changes, hair changes, makeup changes I've ever had on a project.
Were both of you familiar with other kinds of Draculas, and did you were you surprised when you saw how this one transpired?
I'd never heard of it myself before, but no, I'm teasing, of course. Yeah,
yeah, of course. I love the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula. I remember being really inspired by that Dracula as a teenager and being just like in awe of Winona Ryder and the costumes and all of that. But what's nice about our Draculas, this is a love, truly a love story. So it's really, you can't even kind of compare them to the others because it's just a different world.
Yeah. We've never heard from Dracula like we've heard from them in this in this film.
Yeah, definitely.
And a film, a Dracula film has never been, its attention so heavily on the relationship between Mina and Vlad.
Well, Zoe, how do you see him as a love object when he looks so bad? How do you justify?
He looks bad.
And he's old, like 400 years old. You look bad. I'm sorry.
Oh God, I don't know. There is love is blind. Love is blind. I didn't think about it.
True love.
Yeah.
True love.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, what does that perfume smell like?
It kind of smells like what you would imagine a stone castle would smell like with, like, for me, if I was imagining it, of course there's, you know, I'm imagining it. I've come up with the recipe in my head as we speak. It's like a stone, like wet stone, kind of musty smell, like the kind of smell of a church almost.
No, it's a flower, very fruitful.
It's got a rosy, like a muddy rose.
Dark spice.
Ew. Yeah. It's sexy. That's
okay, sure. Good to know. How fast does Luke work? Is he real quick on it? Because the movie moves like a house on fire. And Dracula, you always think of it very slow and kind of turgid. And that's not what he does at all.
It was on beat, for sure. He had a pace in mind. And, I mean, this film has a heartbeat, and you're literally on the beat. Every scene.
There are certain scenes where we have more time, like in the beginning of the film, where we're really playing around, you know, in a lot of ways. And so this felt like there was all the time in the world. And then at other times when he's needing a more chaotic energy or more of a visceral energy, he creates that on set, and it becomes that on set too. And it usually mirrors what he's looking for. So when we are in the throes of something fast-paced, it usually is fast-paced, and it usually is. It's not hard to get in the body very fast. And other things, very delicate and very almost felt like we had all the time in the world when we know we don't, but he made us feel like that, you know.
Well, it was a big surprise. It was not the Dracula I was expecting. And I loved that it moved so quickly. It was great. But now get the product placement and get that perfume out on the market.
I know, right? I made the suggestion, so.
But good. Thank you.
Pretty brilliant.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Interesting. Have you seen the movie yet?
Yes. You know what I love about it? It moves like a house on fire. You know how those Dracula films are all so slow and you go, oh, God, now we're going to the big castle. And this one, it zips. And in there, they have these gargoyles that do all the work. And if you heard that in Luke's interview, he thought, well, when Notre Dame burned, who takes care of everything? And the gargoyles were the ones who kind of cleaned up and did all that kind of stuff. So he sees that those gargoyles are at work while Dracula is sleeping.
Yeah.
And you see him rush around. It's like animated, but it's very fascinating. And I think the movie moves very quickly. Am I a vampire movie fan? Not really, because there are too many of them. But it's an interesting take, a different take. And it's a chance to see somebody else put their spin on a big story.
Okay. I might have to check this out because I like quite a few of Luc Besson's movies. I mean, you've got, going back a ways, Leon the Professional was,
right.
I mean, that's a classic with Jean Reno and Gary Oldman, a very young Natalie Portman and Danny Aiello. It's, you know, it's kind of a hitman movie. And then it's a movie that kind of gets panned But I've always liked it. It's one of those. It's probably has a bit of a cult following, but it's the Fifth Element, with Bruce Willis, also Gary Oldman, Chris Tucker, right. And Luc Besson's ex-wife, Mila Jovovich.
Right.
Yeah. A sci-fi thing. It's a weird movie, but I kind of like it.
Yeah. No, this is what it'll have a big open. When I went to Melania, I saw posters for Dracula in the theater. So that must be your next one to go to.
There you go. All right. Might have to check that out. Anything else on the horizon before we sign off?
If you're not getting your Olympic gear ready, I can't help you. I am following every athlete I can find on social media to see what they're up to and what they have great rooms. You know how you always hear they had cardboard beds and, oh, this is the worst thing. The rooms look great, and they've got towel warmers in their bathrooms. Now, are we behind in the United States? Because I don't have towel warmers in my house, but I love them now. And if the athletes have, I'd love it. I'd love it. But it looks beautiful. It looks like they're having a good time. Let's hope we bring home the gold, because I think we need that right now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting, those the Athletes Village, it's like a trailer park, if you've seen it. It's if it's cold out, you do have to go kind of like sprinting from your I guess their apartment to wherever you need to go, but it seems like a fun little athlete's village. I'm looking forward to checking out the Olympics these 2 weeks, so should be a lot there.
And don't you think they'll turn those, are they going to be apartments or are they going to be hotels or what in the future? Because it looks like it's made for a hotel.
Yeah.
And there could be, I didn't get to go to Italy this last year because Humpty Dumpty fell. But if I go back, wouldn't that be fun to go there and stay in a room that used to be an Olympic contender's room?
Sure.
I think that'd be cool. So maybe that's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
And I'll get towel warmer.
There you go. All right. Well, on that note, thank you for listening. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that, cools up to 8 times faster, and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus free premium delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Corporate credit cards, cash flow management, centralizing spend, help with catching fraud. A powerful corporate card program needs to do a lot, so it should be designed to help work with your business. That's why with the American Express corporate program, you can customize key elements to match your company's needs. Explore and apply from a variety of card types based on employee roles. Select liability and billing options that fit your needs. Add spending controls to support compliance. And decide whether earning rewards or cash back in the form of a statement credit delivers more value for your business. Learn more and start customizing your corporate program at americanexpress.com/corporate. Terms apply.